Manifestation. That works.
Track 3?
Yeah. Manifestation. Is it track 3? I think it's 2.
No, I'm saying track 3.
Yeah, there we go. Just blow that one off. Track 2. Introductory evening. Cool. Air conditioning system in this room is just fascinating. Some nights 72 is hot, and other nights 72 is Arctic. We've never figured out the theory yet. So we're going to do a little short exercise here. You'll notice there's some fun questions in this little folder. Entertaining things, the exact things you want to ask at a dinner party just to get conversation going. The very bottom one says, who would benefit from or prefer me remaining small in my energy, space, my opinion, or my results? Who would benefit from or prefer me remaining small in my energy, space, opinion, or results? All right, it's a compound question. I'm going to do a little bit of a guided exercise here. And so what I'd like for you to do is go ahead and put down things you might otherwise drop. You won't need to reread that. You might want it someplace where you can write notes on it later if you feel like writing notes down, but that's not key. If it should occur that your mind wanders off during this exercise, just bring it back to wherever we are. You don't have to try and figure out how to catch up. Just bring it back to wherever we are at that point and let it go. Let's see what that does for us. If I'm describing one thing and you get a completely different but similar idea, image, concept, feeling, picture, go with that. Just let yourself roll with that. That's fine. If I describe something and your mind says, I don't know what he's saying, then just sort of turn it over to your subconscious and say, subconscious, take over. Do what he said. And let it happen. Primarily, if your mind says, I'm not sure I'm doing this right, just tell it, yeah, that's fine, you don't have to be sure. We'll just keep doing it right. Questions? Great. I'll invite you to close your eyes. If you're not comfortable closing your eyes in a whole room full of people, don't. Have some boundaries. Just pull your focus deep inside yourself. I will be monitoring the room, both for safety and to see what's going on. So if your eyes are open or closed, it does not matter to me. You don't need to feel like you got caught. Just draw your focus deep inside yourselves. And with that, if you'll just let your eyes go closed and just draw in a long, deep breath till your lungs are full, and then let that air flow out again. And as you're ready for another breath, let it be a long, deep breath. And this time, imagine the air flowing out through your body, as if your body were layers of silk or fabric. And with each breath, let the air flow in, and then let it flow out through your body, feeling your body open and expand. And now what I'd like for you to do is just roll your hands so that your palms are upright. Just move your hands so your palms are upright. And just imagine that what you're telling your mind is, there's a part of me that really would keep myself small for fear of other people's input or how they'd react if I was suddenly doing well. There's a part of me that would tend to keep myself small for fear of how other people would react or what they'd want or what they'd demand from me if I were suddenly doing really well. And what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to marshal all the different fragments of that part of you that would keep yourself small and march them all out into one hand. Gather all of those fragments of that internal part of your consciousness, all of those voices, all of those inner selves that would keep you small based on other people's input, and march them all out into one of your hands, and pay attention to which hand they marched out into. If they try to divide up and say, well, we've got two hands, it's like, no. Every part of me that would maintain small based on other people's input all march out into one of my hands. That one. And notice which hand it is. In fact, I'd like you to notice in that hand, is there a sense of weight about this part of you that's marched out there? Is there a sense of mass or weight? Is there a sense of color to it, or a quantity of light or darkness about it? If you really imagined what it looked like, does it have any recognizable shape? Might look like some shape you recognize, might even look like someone you recognize. That's perfectly fine. Could just be geometric or other. And now what I'd like for you to do is all the parts of you that have been pushing, really pushing forward, demanding of you, asking you why not, telling you you need to more, all the parts of you that have been telling you that you need to be more accomplished, more light, more lucky, more further along in life, whatever that be, gather all of those parts of you and march them out into the other hand. You have two. All of those parts of you that have been pushing on you, telling you that you need to be more, you're behind, you should have been, that have been really cracking the whip on you, march all of those out into your other hand. You have two. And that other hand, I want you now to notice in that other hand, is there a sense of weight to those parts, of mass or weight? All of those parts that have been pushing for you to move forward, is there a sense of weight or mass in the hand that they marched out into? Is there a sense of color or darkness or light about it? Can you find a recognizable shape to it? It may look like something you recognize. It may even look like someone you recognize. That's perfectly fine. It might be geometric. It might be other. Which hand has more mass or weight in it, or are they about equal? Keeping all of those parts out in your hands, notice what it's like back there in the middle of you without them. Is there a sense of mass or weight difference inside of you with those parts marched out into your hands? Is there a sense of noise level difference, background noise, in you with those parts marched out in your hands? Okay, now we have first hand and we have other hand, right? I'd like you to address first hand. I'd like you to address that assemblage of parts in first hand, and in your mind, ask it what it would like you to call it. And if it gives you some belligerent answer, take it literally. If it said, oh, screw you, then that's what you're going to call it. You'll call it, oh, screw you. I don't care. Okay, then you'll call it, I don't care. Ask it what it would like you to call it. First hand. Mine told me it would like to be called good sense. And I believe it has disguised itself that way for my whole life. Now you have other hand, right? I'd like you to address that assemblage of parts in other hand. Just in your mind, take the first thing that flows in. This is not some huge psychic exercise. Just take the first thing that flows in, ask it what it would like you to call it. Again, if it gives you a belligerent answer, take it literally. If it tells you, oh, go away, then fine, call it, oh, go away. Just as my first hand wanted to be called good sense, let me check in on the other hand. I'm just going with the first phrase that goes to mind when I take all my focus into that parts of self that's in other hand. Interesting. My other hand says it would like me to call it, I'm here for you. So I have good sense and I'm here for you. Whatever your two hands are, it might even not be English. It might be the one hand wants to be called and the other hand wants to be called. Doesn't matter. Whatever was the first thought that flowed through. It might not even be words for you. It might be a color or a flavor. It could be just as easily a flavor, where one hand tastes like vanilla-ish and the other hand tastes like oak and a fine red wine. I don't know. Could just as easily be a flavor. But address it that way. If it's a feeling, address it with the feeling. Don't take the feeling literally. That's that group or that cluster. That's their con game, is to claim, I'm good sense and I'm here for you, in my case. Which probably inside my mind, oh, this is good sense, probably always seemed like it was good sense. And I'm here for you. Probably always seemed like I'm here for you. Great disguise. I could see why I would buy into both of those. I happen to find both of those ideas appealing. Great disguise. Get it? I'd like you to address firsthand, please, by their name. And by their name, in my case, I would say, okay, good sense. Say, okay, whatever their name is. Why are you here? Okay, firsthand content, in my case, good sense. Why are you here? Relax and take the first phrase that comes to mind. In my case, it says, I'm here to help you. You probably got something similar to that. If you got a really belligerent set, you might have gotten, I'm here to stop you. Okay, fine. Help me or stop me or aid me or ignore me, what? Take it to the next question, still using their name. Help me or stop me or aid me or ignore me or get in my way or keep me from what? And then take whatever that answer is. In my case, because I felt so other as a child, the answer was to help you fit in socially. Take whatever that answer is and immediately take that same answer and say whatever their answer was, toward what goal? Toward what goal? Take the first phrase that comes to mind. The first phrase that comes to mind might be, I can't do this. That's great. That's fine. That's the answer it gave you. Toward what? And then take whatever that answer was, in my case, toward you being okay. Take whatever that answer was and say, toward what goal? You're asking the same question again, but we're going a layer deeper. We're going a layer deeper. Mind said, to help you be okay. Toward what goal? And you're probably getting some level of survival by now. And then ask it, whatever level of survival, not getting killed, not getting kicked out, not getting thrown out, being okay, being here, not messing up, not blowing it again, da-da-da-da-da. Ask it one more layer deeper. Toward what largest goal? What is the largest goal you have in this strategy, in this perspective? And mind gave me pictures instead of words, and it simply showed me becoming more and more light. You probably got some similar answer. Maybe so you survive, but the reason for you to survive would be what? Keep going deeper. You're going to find a level where it reaches a place where it tells you you're surviving toward your spiritual unfoldment, you're surviving so you can learn your lessons, you're surviving so you can move forward in your spiritual path. You'll get something like that. Once you go enough layers deep, even if you had to go through a couple of layers of, well, I can't do this. Okay, you're keeping me from doing this toward what goal? So that you don't mess up. Okay, you're having me not mess up toward what goal? And eventually you find the place that that goal was, that spiritual essence. So now let's talk to the other hand. Remember, we had first hand and other hand. I want you to talk to other hand now, just in your mind. Remember what other hand was being called. I'm there for you, in my case. Great name. I usually get weirder names than this. Ask it by name. What are you here for? So in my case, I say, okay, I'm there for you. What are you here for? It's trying to con me, because otherwise you'd be so alone. Of course it's trying to con me. It's been conning me my whole life. For my own good, of course. Great. Toward what goal? Ask it by name. Fill in the name. You're doing that. Toward what goal? Some of you are going to notice that it tries to run away and hide. Don't let it. Stay with it. Toward what goal? I get back pictures of my spirit growing. All of a sudden, it doesn't want to do words anymore. It's okay with me. I don't care how it communicates. Okay? So my spirit grows. Toward what goal? Ask it another layer deep. You're asking the other hand, parts of you in that other hand, toward what goal? Repeat what it said to you and ask it, toward what goal? And then repeat what it said to you this time and go one more layer deep and say, what's the highest, broadest goal of your purpose and actions? What's the highest and broadest goal of your purpose and actions? Mine gives me my reunification with God. Yeah, it's going to happen anyway. Great. And if you really stay with it and you really corner it toward what's the highest goal, call it by name every time you need to. It gave you the name, even if it was being facetious. It owns that name now. And you'll get to a level where it's got something to do with your spiritual growth, your progression, the progression of your spirit, the solution of your questions, the answer of your lessons. Which is remarkably similar to the first hand's goal, isn't it? So ask the other hand, does the first hand have any strategies or skills that you might find useful toward this mutual goal? Asking the other hand, which in my case is, I'm there for you. Ask them by name, I'm there for you. Does the first hand, just good sense, have any strategies or goals that would be useful to you in this mutual goal? Strategies or directions, excuse me, that would be useful. Skills, talents, gifts. And in my case, my other hand says, yeah, the first hand is that really grounded, driving forward tenacity. Great, so tenacity would be useful. Yeah. So now ask the first hand by name. In my case, that's just good sense. Ask the first hand by name. Does the other hand have any strategies or skills or talents that would be useful to you in this mutual goal? And in my case, it says that the other hand is a dreamer and holds the bigger picture. Ah, both toward the same goal. Ask both hands if they would be okay with it if you brought them closer together. If they weren't already doing that on their own, and they may have done it without you noticing, ask both hands if they would be okay with it if you brought them closer together so that they could indeed share these talents and this goal. And if they say it's okay, do that for them. Bring them close enough together that they could make at least good eye contact. Wherever it is you find you're drawn, however close together you find you're drawn to bring them. And then ask the other hand again, are you willing to coordinate with first hand toward this mutual goal of my benefit? and ask first hand, are you willing to coordinate with the other hand toward this mutual goal of my benefit? And as they agree, keep working with them till they can recognize it really, because some of them will be petulant. Just work with them a little bit till they can recognize, well, gosh, if it really is a mutual goal and each of you can recognize the other half has some skills or gifts or abilities that would be useful or strategies that would be useful, until you can get them to permit you to actually bring your hands together, whether they fold or whether they cup. So you can get both hands to permit you to actually bring your hands together and physically do that. As those two parts will allow it, bring your physical hands together. Bring those two parts together by bringing your physical hands together. Bring your focus back to my words and allow those two parts to become closer together by bringing the physical hands that you've been containing them in closer together. Until you can let them merge, those two parts merge, but hold them still in your hands. Until you can let those two parts merge, but hold them still in your hands. And then come back into your own mind and you decide, are you in agreement with their goal, which has something to do with returning you to your spiritual essence or completing your spiritual goals or elevating your spirit or elevating your life? And then I'd like you in your own mind to address your fear by the name of, hello, my fear? Hello, my fear? My fear, are you willing to let all of my parts join together toward my expansion and growth, toward the expansion of my light, toward the reconnection of my spirit, whatever that goal was? Hello, my fear. Are you willing to let all of my parts join together? And the my fear is going to give you some answer like, well, only if you move slowly. So tell my fear about the river analogy. Tell my fear about the river analogy, that all of this pulling in different directions has been creating turbulence, and that's what you've really been afraid of, is the turbulence. And in truth, bringing all the parts together brings a broader, smoother, brighter, richer flow. So ask my fear, are you willing to have things flow more smoothly, more vividly, with more light and more beneficial synchronicity? Hello, my fear, are you willing to have things flow more smoothly and with more light and with more beneficial synchronicity? And it'll say, but what about the surprises? And you can point out, well, the more of my parts that are working coordinatedly, the better solutions we'll find to the surprises. And you'll notice that my fear will be pretty happy with that idea. Tell you what, my fear, we'll have a bigger team to solve the things we've been afraid of, and to let go of the fears of things that'll never happen. And as my fear relaxes, let yourself draw both of those parts in your hands into your heart to join with your own heart sense of things. As my fear relaxes, let yourself draw both of those parts that were in your hands and physically draw your hands up to draw those parts directly into your heart. And let yourself absorb and integrate them instantaneously, allowing you this moment of being completely in alignment with yourself. And just notice what that feels like. Notice the level of the mind chatter that goes with that. And then ask my fear to toss up your biggest fear currently in front of all of your parts, and to see if all of your parts can look at that fear and still stay solid, or if they're going to crumple and wither and crumble away in front of it. Ask my fear to toss up your biggest fear in front of all of your parts and see if your parts are able to just notice that fear and go, yep, we'll work with it, or if they're going to crumple and fall apart. And you'll probably notice that suddenly that biggest fear is just one more possibility, kind of falls in the category of, well, it's not happening now, and if it does, we'll have to find a route. Notice how it feels to have all of your parts focused in the same direction now. To let that just be one more situation, as opposed to having that huge emotional impact of fear. And I'd like you to imagine now that you could lift up above yourself, looking down on the room from above, noticing how shiny my head is, and then lift up above the room, looking down on the building from above, and lift up above the above, and imagine from this angle that you could see the energetic path of your history in your past and your future in your future. Look back along your history, and I'd like you to imagine lighting up the incipient point, the first place where the decisions were made to hold you back and restrain you. Imagine lighting that point up in your history. It might be this life, it might be during the pregnancy, it might even be between lives, it might even be before this life. Light up that point where the first deepest decision was made to hold you in restraint as a good strategy from keeping you from missing your spiritual path. And fly backward above that timeline, fly backward above your history until you're directly above that bright, bright spot. Skip looking for what, where, and when it was. Just be directly above that bright, bright spot. Looking down into that bright, bright place in your histories, if you're curious, you can ask it whether it's this lifetime, the pregnancy before this lifetime, between lifetimes, or an earlier lifetime. Just ask it. What age or how many lifetimes ago is this? And it might tell you both. It might tell you the age and how many lifetimes ago. Now, gently keeping full track that you're observing, move down into the you that is there at that point and place in time. Gently keeping full consciousness that you are observing, move down into the you that was there at that point, in that place, in that time. And just notice the level of emotional disturbance and the level of self-recrimination that's going on. But also take a look and see whether or not you from here, with a little more peaceful state of mind and a little more history, whether you from here would actually have different strategies or even a different interpretation of your surroundings and your circumstance. You might look at it and say, well, that wasn't that big a mistake. Or you might look at it and go, wow, there's a lot of different strategies that I didn't have available then. Just notice, would you have different strategies? And with your different strategies and your different assessment and your ability to be one step removed, would you now, then, in that place, there, then, you now make that same there, then choice now with the strategies you have now, would you make that same there, then choice that you made there and then? That what you needed to do there then was to shut you now down to keep you from ever making a mistake that would stop your spiritual growth. Would you still now make that choice there then, in the there then, with your now you, or would you choose differently? Would you choose to set you free of that decision? You may not even know what the decision was other than the shutdown. You may not even know what the circumstances were other than confusing. That's fine. Just notice that you would have completely different perspective and strategy now. And the one thing you would choose to do would be move forward with all of your parts and all of your light. And that the one thing you chose or knew of then was shut you down and try and disappear. And that you're very aware that disappear is very low on your preference of strategies now. So right there then, you now make a there then choice now then to wide open, turn on your light and see all of your options and navigate with your light on and your options. And just let you float back up above that point in time, but bring with you all of the parts of you that got shut down and closed down. And just pop them open and now reabsorb them. All the parts of you that got disconnected and left behind, pop them open and reabsorb them, integrating them instantaneously. And watch as that change of incipient decision causes a ripple that moves forward and backward in your history. And watch as that ripple pings every place where that same decision was reinforced. And as it pings it, the portion of your life force that got set aside in each one of those places will float up above almost like a ghost of you. And as that ripple moves forward, I want you to fly along that timeline, soaking in, reabsorbing, and instantaneously integrating those fragments of you, flying along that timeline as fast as you possibly can, reabsorb and integrate instantly all those fragments of self as you fly forward. Letting that ripple ping ahead of you, letting those fragments, if you come across a place where it goes thunk rather than ping, just pause above that, tap on it to make it go ping, to even set that reinforcement of that decision to collapse, crumble, disassociate, disconnect, to set that portion of you free. You've learned everything there was to learn from those previous choices. All the parts of you that stayed there to review and digest them can release now to float up, allow you to absorb them and integrate them instantaneously as you fly forward as fast as you possibly can. Absorb and integrate every fragment of that instantaneously. There might even be multiple timelines that you're drawing fragments from. Soak them in, integrating them instantaneously, building the amount of light and power that you are as you fly forward along the timeline until you move all the way forward that you're back above this building, above my voice, above the room.